Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's your favorite Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens. They're your Super Bowl champions. Thank you for listening to the show completely for free on Stitcher or iTunes. Enjoy your freedom of speech. This wouldn't be The Call if I wasn't joined by my good buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey.
So,
how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You and me, man, we got to hang out at Birdland, not Raven Stadium, but at Camden Yards over the weekend. Not what we were really looking for from the Orioles, but this last preseason game, kind of the same deal. Not really what we were hoping the offense would do up against, with Flacco leading the charge. These guys did not look good in their third preseason game.
No, I mean, you're pretty much going to get the good, the bad, the ugly in this one. We've seen some good, we've seen a little bit of bad, and there were some just god-awful ugly stuff. I'm going to start off on a high note. Where did Marlon Brown come from? That's all I got to say. This guy's going to make the starting roster. Obviously, our receiving corps depleted. He's going to be a good target for Joe Flacco, compliment Jacoby and Torrey Smith and Dallas Clark and Brandon. He's going to be thrown in the mix. I like what I've seen out of the kid, on offense. I just have to start off with Marlon because he just impressed me so much, but I want to start off on a high note about the defense, Brandon. I'm telling you what, I don't know where people are getting their worries from. This defense is going to be top 10. They allowed 68 total yards, I think, in the first half. No offensive points. They started the game, I think, on a 3-and-out. If not, it was like the second series. It's all a blur to me, but I had fun regardless. I was there. Defense is stout. They're swarming. They're young. They're fresh. Daryl Smith is just a beast. Doomerville and Suggs are going to be a good tandem. It's good to see Ladarius Webback. Ladarius making some tackles. Really didn't get beat. Jimmy Smith still stepping up. Matt Elam playing. All around the defense, they're solid. I'm set on defense. I don't have any quarrels about defense. So we can just lay that to rest. How about that?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this Ravens defense this season. These guys are really looking sharp. I mean, just we talked about the last 2 weeks, but Doomerville, man, I got all the confidence in the world on this guy. He's playing so well. He's gelling so well with Terrell Suggs. These guys are going to be scary for other quarterbacks to see these guys charging at him. But yeah, the defense, not a question. These guys are looking sharp. They're looking good. They're looking quick. Everybody was talking about last season. There were so many injuries and the defense was so old. This time around, man, everybody's healthy. Everybody looks good and everybody looks sharp. I'm very impressed with this defense. Now, the offense, that's something else to be worried about. Now, don't get me wrong. I there were some bright spots. Like you said, there was some good, some bad, some ugly. Brandon Stokely looked like he's really gelling well with Joe Flacco. He made some great catches. So I was very happy to see Stokely doing as well as he was doing. But the big thing with that I have, we can kind of jump back and forth with this, but Visonte Shanko, he did get cut this past weekend from the Ravens, which was kind of a surprise to me due to the fact that Dallas Clark and the rest of the offense did not look good in this preseason game. I couldn't believe that Dallas Clark kind of was like, yeah, you can stick around a little bit longer, and Visonte Shanko gets the boot because Dallas Clark did that. That was my, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but that was one of the low points for me in this game. Well, let me not just say him. Dallas Clark and Tandon Doss, those were the two low points of the offense this past game.
Low points they were indeed, Brandon. It needs work. There are new pieces with Flacco's offense. You take away his favorite targets, Pitta, Bolden. You're going to have that happen. It's going to create a ripple effect, but it's going to take time. Unfortunate for us, they don't have much time to work because preseason game number 4, they're not going to play much, and we play the Broncos in, 10 days or so? I'm telling you, it's coming quick, and there's no time to practice. Once then we line up against Denver, everything counts. Every stat, every yard, every inch, every score, because we need to be out there 1-0, not 0-1. And I don't want to start that talk. We'll talk that next week. But obviously, it needs some work. But we've seen some drive. I mean, the first drive, I was like flipping in my chair, backflips. I just said, "Wow! If this keeps up, either number one, this game is going to be a rout, or two, we're going to see flashes of what this offense did." Flasher didn't have an incompletion. He just went right down the field. Ray Rice running the ball, just like a throw the ball, receivers getting open, timely route. Ray Rice had those two bruising runs at the end where he got on the goal line, and then we punched it in. That's vintage Ravens football. We run, we set up the pass with the run, and then when you pass it, you mix it in good. It was working great, and all of a sudden, it's just what happened. It's like old Ravens football. They disappear. I don't get it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know, because it didn't look like they subbed anybody. So I don't know if it was just an execution factor. But I don't have any answers. I know Harbaugh or anybody didn't have any answers for us, and I left scratching my head there. I mean, do you have any answers on what happened?
No, I did the same thing you did. I saw that first drive, and I actually tweeted out after that first drive, and I said, "This is the Joe Flacco offense we all know and love."
I think we all jinxed it when we did that, because I did the same thing. Look at his offense. We're fine, and then, yeah. Yeah, that lasted about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know what happened because they looked brilliant. These guys look like, I'm like, man, look at this. This is a Super Bowl team right here. Who needs Bolden? Who needs this guy? Who needs that guy? We're fine. And then the rest of the night happened, and it was miscue after miscue after miscue. Let's talk about the biggest one that all the fans, everybody on the web, everybody on talk radio and everything is bringing up this guy's name, but Tandon Doss. This is his third season, and people were saying after Anquan Bolden left, he was the guy that was going to take up the flag form, that he was going to be Bolden's replacement, but that he ran the wrong route. He's not talking well with Joe Flacco. It's obvious these two are not working well together. There's a very good chance this guy could be cut in the next day or two. By the time we put this out there, he may be cut.
He better be.
There's a lot of people saying that he's the next one to go. So it sounds like you agree with everybody else out there. Why, besides just this past game, I mean, what is it about Tandon Doss that he just can't get it done? What is it?
Well, I want to isolate that for a minute, if I will. Speaking of Tandon Doss, how about the leadership Joe Flacco shows? He was in Doss's face yelling at him, pointing the bench on him and sitting on the bench. He ran the wrong route and caused the pick. I think he was looking to get something, and I think if Flacco threw the ball, it would have been a nice play. I have to go back and look at that replay. But that's what you want in your general. That's what you want in a leader. You know, Tom Brady does that all the time, and everybody's like, well, he's hard. No. I like what Tom Brady does with the Patriots offense because he, something happens, he's over there yelling at them guys. I don't care if they're all pro receivers or running backs or they're rookies. He's over there telling them what they did wrong. That's leadership. You're supposed to pick up your guys. I mean, Ray Lewis did it on the defense. Somebody missed assignment. Ray was over there barking at him. Hey, you did this wrong. You did right. Don't you think for a chance that number five is going to do that for the Ravens offense? And I love it. And that's what you need to do. And I mean, that's great. You know, it's funny how Joe handpicked him as like, oh, I want Tandon, and they drafted him, but now he sucks. So it's just kind of ironic to see that. But again, you know, if you don't perform at a high level, you're not going to make the starting roster. And you know, we're defending Super Bowl champs. Yeah, it's kind of again ironic to say that Tandon Doss was Super Bowl champion by default because he didn't really play. He was on the team. I hate to say that to him, you know, but that's the reality of it. I mean, he's got a ring with us, but. You know, you need to contribute. And, I mean, he was on the final 53-man roster, but right now he's not going to even make it if it keeps up. And I don't blame him. Marlon Brown stepped up. You got Stokely, you got Smith, and you got Jacoby Jones. Right now, you know, if they line up five wide, I think Aaron Mollett makes it. And I think Laquan Williams is our sixth. I don't think Doss – I think Doss is the bubble man out right here.
Yeah, it seems like Doss is on the way out. At least that's what you, if you ask you, me, or any of the other fans out there. Laquan Williams had a great first game in preseason. You really haven't heard much from him since then. But it looks like there's a lot of guys out there. You know, Marlon Brown from this past game. He had a great showing. So really, this is going to be a brand new team for the Ravens, and it's just going to take some time for them to get used to it. But if you know, this is a fast-paced league on the field and off the field, and if you can't keep up, you're going to get cut. And unfortunately, a lot of people like Tandon Doss, who really showed some promise in college, get left behind because they can't make that adjustment and they can't speed up to the NFL life and learn how to do things. So that's what these cuts are for. You know, we get three games the front office gets three games to see what these guys can do, and if they can't keep up, they're gone before the regular season. I mean, let's transition here a little bit about what's going on this week. There's been 12 cuts already with the Ravens. By this time next week, it's going to be cut from, 75 to 53. So really, this is, if you're on the bubble, you got to show some promise in this next game or show something in training camp, because really, this is going to be your last shot.
It is, these guys know that. I mean, the roster went from, 90-something to now 75. It's going to go from 75 down to 53 at the end of the week. So a lot of shots are going to be cut. And then obviously you can form practice squadrons and whatnot, but it's going to be really see the key position battles. This fourth game, all it is about who's going to make the final 53 mighty men of Baltimore here. And right now we already know, like I said right earlier, like 2 minutes ago, I think we already know, I think the receiver core set. I think that's going to be our 6 receivers. We're going to take in the battle. Among the cuts, again, you mentioned Shanko earlier in the show. Ramon Harwood was cut. Running back Barry, he was a cut. The running back Barry, I think, I'm trying to think off the top of my head some notables. But I think that's the main notable there. The others, among the 12 cuts by the Ravens.
The only other name I can think of is Tommy Streeter.
Tommy Streeter, yes. I knew there was a receiver. I'm thinking that I knew it was there, so thank you for the help on that, because I knew I was missing one there. Tommy Streeter, I saw some promise in him. I really thought he was going to make the roster. It's just unfortunate to see he couldn't contribute on the level to play like a Raven. But again, we need to put the best guys in battle, and Harbaugh knows that. It's the best guy. It's just like the draft. You approach it like Ozzie does. Right player, right price, best available. Ravens got to put the best guy right now who's performing out there. Marlon Brown was catching. He seemed to have chemistry with Joe. And right now I don't have any qualms. And I think the running back position is going to be fine. I like keeping Leak there. We have Pierce and Rice. We're going to be fine in the running game. It just comes out to, can our offensive line hold up like it did in the playoffs and keep Flacco upright? And can Joe go to progressions? There were some times where he just stared the receiver down, and linebacker Luke Kuechly just read it twice. And it's just unfortunate that, that's how the old Kyle Bowler used to play. Just stare down, stare down, stare down, and just, I'm throwing to him. Sometimes you can actually see quarterback go through his progressions, and I even set up his hands. I said, it's 3 Mississippi. If you hold on to that football for more than 3 seconds, you best believe someone's breathing down your neck. You need to get that ball out of there, step out of the pocket. Joe Flacco had good pocket awareness in the playoffs. That's one thing he still has. And I've seen some flashes of it on Thursday where he stepped up, moved the ball out of the pocket. He was protecting the football, but just times where the line just couldn't hold. And the receivers need to know that, whether they needed to do hot routes, adjust the routes a little bit, and recognize, hey, my quarterback's in trouble. I need to adjust to get open and get the corner off my back so I can get open and have Joe throw, have an open throwing lane. And then that's where the receivers and quarterback need to work on that chemistry, because when you're in trouble, you need to improvise. And I'm waiting to see that leadership in the audibles. But again, you're not going to see the full offense fly. I mean, we've yet to see vertical field passing, deep threats, bombs. We haven't seen that play action all yet. It's just pretty much been check downs, screen passes, little crossing routes across the middle, simple stuff. They try to get the timing down, and obviously I think come week one, we're going to see it unleashed, and I think we're going to see a better offense. I think the offense we're going to be seeing in that first drive, believe it or not.
Yeah, the offense, I think, is going to get a little bit more help come week one of the regular season due to Ed Dixon, who returned to training camp today.
Yep, he did.
Today's the 26th. We're recording this Monday night, and Ed Dixon came back, and there's always been some question about whether or not he's going to be Joe Flacco's favorite target this time around with Pitta out. But from what I'm hearing from the media that saw him on the field today, he looked like he hasn't skipped a beat. It looks like he's been here the whole training camp. It doesn't even look like he had any sort of injury problem. So that's very good to hear.
Right, absolutely. And again, you don't want to see any another season ending injury. I'm glad Ed will be back on board. We need that. Obviously Dallas Clark with his pass blocking ability, I think we need that younger, fresher Ed Dixon in there to help out on offense. And again, great. I'm going to piggyback on that and say definitely great. It's not season ending, and great to see him back and ready back for week one. It's going to be a very interesting week, seeing what cuts may come, what cuts may not. See who's going to be left on the roster, and that's what it comes down to. Who's going to be left making the 2013 Ravens, and I really can't wait to see how it all plays out on our end.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a very interesting week. This game, really, a lot of fans kind of, you know, boo-hoo the fourth preseason game because none of the starters play. But this is people playing for their lives. You know, this is they're playing for their dream because in an instant it could go away if you're not the best out there on the field. So you really got to show off in front of everybody. There's a lot of people that I hope that make it out of the preseason. You know, we brought him up many times. You call him one of my, you know, Brandon's ballers. I want to see Bobby Rainey, man. I want to see him.
The Rainmaker.
He's going to make it rain here in Baltimore. You know, he's a guy that I hope at least makes the practice squad, stays a Raven, doesn't get cut or anything like that. But
right.
Big news, though, is who's going to be the quarterback for that game, because Tyrod Taylor, he had to go out of the game on Thursday because of a big hit. And they were afraid he had concussion. And come this weekend, the Ravens signed another new quarterback because it seems like Tyrod's not going to be playing on Thursday, and they're not going to risk playing Joe either.
Absolutely. You don't want to risk that. Obviously, the Jets showed that role should apply. What a mess up there in New York. You definitely don't want to be playing your starting quarterback on the fourth quarter just trying to win a game in the preseason. I mean, that's just a no-no. What a joke. So I don't think we have to worry the Ravens fans. We're going to put $20 million man out there to back up so we can just go win the game, so-called. So, again, no worries there. It's just basically going to be position battles. Who's going to win them? Who's going to lose them? I really can't wait to see us play the Rams again Thursday at 8. I'm excited. Again, I'll be watching, have my evaluation sheets ready, who I want to see, who I think. I mean, predicting the roster is a tough thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know they have contests about it. It's a pretty fun thing. But other than that, I really can't wait to see how the position battles are going to play out in the Ravens' favor. And that's what we're going to come down to. We just hope that Tyrod's okay. I've never heard anything major on his end. So, I know Kevin Cobb up there in Buffalo had a concussion. It might be even career-ending. So you just got to be careful. You never know.
Is there anything you can consider a shoe-in? For a starting roster spot or even to be on the practice squad? I don't really know if there is such a thing as a shoe-in if you're trying to play for your career.
No, there isn't. I mean, the veterans, if you're not stepping up, they can make it. I mean, it just shows you week in and week out who can get cut. I mean, I've seen some, you know, veterans sometimes get cut from squads because they're too old or can't perform. I think Marlon Brown will stay. He just came out of nowhere. I think Aaron Millett made a case where he should stay. That's the two holes that I see on offense. Defense, I think we're set on defense.
The only question mark really is who's going to start on the defense for me. Is it going to be Matt Elam or is it going to be
Hedgebo.
Who's gonna start for that position? Because those guys.
I think it's going to be a mix between the two. One's going to be in one tackle, one's going to be another because obviously, you know, we invested in Elam, we drafted him 32nd overall, signed him to a 4-year deal. So obviously, it's Elam's position. I think they're going to intermix. I think Ebido is going to start. I think Elam's going to spell him every now and then. Maybe halfway through the season, Elam might even enroll in the starting position. I like to see Elam on this defense. I think he brings that presence that we need. Darryl Smith's going to start in the middle. I think our starting defense is fine. I really can't wait to see it happen. Like I said, and we got Jacoby returning punts and kicks. It just comes down to who's going to be catching the ball. Can the offensive line hold up? And it just really, that's what it comes down to. And hopefully Tyrod Taylor's okay. But pretty much we know what we're going to go into battle with. And that's what I like to see with the Ravens. And I'm fired up about that. There's no big, big question marks like, oh, my God, who's going to fill this void? We already know. I mean, we've had some key free agent signings. We've had some good draft picks. Now let's put them to work and let's see where they can play.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting week for a lot of the people out there in the front office. You might see some familiar names kind of get the boot and go away, but we might see some new names, some new exciting guys that are going to bring something different to this team, which I think is going to be a great thing for the Ravens. So there's going to be a lot of movement. All right, so if you had a favorite in the preseason, that might be this coming Thursday might be your last shot to see him. So we'll see what happens on Thursday. We were kind of talking before we started recording, but I really don't know if there's any more we can say about that preseason game, because this last one, because it is really such a big question mark. Who's going to play? Who's not? And we know it's not the starters, but besides just saying these guys are playing for their career, I mean, there's nothing else on the line, really. A W would be great, but it's not necessary. Really, we need to see who can bring the best game and who's going to be able to perform at that level every single week.
Right, I agree. And speaking of performance, you know who's going to be awful?
Who's that?
Steelers are going to be awful this year.
that's usually a given.
And I'm not saying that because we hate them, but they just look atrocious. So let's hope that Bears are in a regular season and maybe the Browns will be in third place, because, you know, for a season preview kind of tease, I think it's going to be Oakland and Cincinnati neck and neck. But don't discount Cleveland, because Cleveland's got some weapons, and any game in this league is going to be tough. All 16 of them are going to be great, hard-fought battles. One minor thing I wanted to play on, as I read today, was pretty cool. You know how Ray Rice does his vintage flexing the biceps as he comes out of the tunnel and for touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, Brandon, but did you know that he did? He put a tattoo on his bicep of the Super Bowl win, commemorating the Super Bowl champion. He put a Lombardi Trophy, XLV, II champions. So every time he flexes muscles, we're going to be reminded on that championship last year, and I think that's awesome. Not only, you know, the players can't really wear their rings out on the field, but, you know, there's some, you know, and Jacoby Jones got his tattoo touched up in a tattoo shop down in Elkridge. I read courtesy of Ravens.com that he went down a local shop and got his touched up. So the Ravens are, you know, inking themselves. I think one of the linemen, I can't remember what his name was, if it was offense or defense, but he got the replica of the, I think it's R. Jones, it might be, I'm not sure, don't quote me on that. I should know this, but I just basically read it real quick during lunch break, but he got the tattoo of the Super Bowl ring etched on him. So it's just nice to see that the Ravens are, you know, putting some pieces of memory on the bodies and really commemorating and remembering how glorious it was. And I like how Ray Rice is going to remind the world that, hey, you know, remember, you know, we're still the champs in Super Bowl 47, no matter if it's 48, 49, 50. Every time he scores a touchdown, we're going to remind the world. And when Ray Rice scores, that's where it's going to be. And I love that. That just shows pride. And now it shows, you know, who we are. And you know, obviously we're going to have our target in the back gunning for us this year coming out of the preseason into regular season. And we're less than 2 weeks away, man. This is it.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer. I'm excited. Yeah, and Ray Rice, he's going to be showing everybody, you know, check out, you know, he's always flexing his muscles, showing how big he is. But now he's going to be like, check out what I got. I'm a Super Bowl champion. I'm the best in the world. And he wants to defend that. Maybe that might scare a few other people, or might give them more ammunition to try to knock him off that, you know, that pedestal. But he got up there for a reason, because he's one of the best in the world. And we're happy to have him here in Baltimore. So I like the fact that he's going to be pointing to that Super Bowl tattoo every single time he gets a touchdown, because that's the reason that was one of the biggest reasons why we got to the Super Bowl, is because of Ray Rice. So that's fine.
Right.
Flaunt it as much as you want, man. Just don't get a flag. Right. Don't get an unsportsmanlike flag. So don't point at anyone with the ball or anything like that, because the NFL's new rules are so much fun.
New fun league, I swear.
So did we miss anything for this show?
Not a chance.
Not a chance, buddy. That's right. So we got plenty of stuff going on in Ravens world. If you want to talk about football with me or Josh, we are both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people follow you?
They can follow me at ItalianGQ52.
That's right. I don't know if you tweeted it out or not yet, but Josh and I were hanging out on Saturday at Camden Yards, and Josh saw a hand-painted picture of Ray Lewis on the street, and he could not leave it. He had to buy it. So there's a cool picture floating out there of Josh with this really cool Ray Lewis poster in front of M&T Bank Stadium. You got to check it out on his Twitter. It looks pretty cool to me, I got to say. You wouldn't leave that poster alone. You were just staring at it the whole time like, I got to have it. I got
to
have it.
No. When he said it was original, I went up to it and saw it was original. I mean, it's a great painting. You know, Ray retired and everything, value is going to go up. But, you know, Ray's my boy. And when I saw something, and I like original artwork like that, so it kind of was a nice piece. And when someone paints something like that on a canvas and it's original and unique and you can't really buy it in stores in bulk and in copies, it really means that much to me, where if I can have it for my house, from, you know, future, you know, display, it makes me very proud to have a rare piece, and it is a gorgeous piece. So I will be tweeting that out.
Yeah, definitely. So make sure you go onto Facebook as well. Go like the Call Podcast fan page. It's facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Make sure you go to facebook.com/BrandoCash, unlike the Brando Cash Network. You'll get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. We got some stuff cooking up. We got some stuff cooking up on the Brando Cash Network, some new podcasts coming down the pipe. So make sure you stay tuned to that. Now, thank you so much for listening to the show. There's so many different ways you can listen to the show. We are on iTunes. The easiest thing to do is go into the iTunes store, search The Call. Once you find us there, click subscribe. That way, whenever a new show comes out, it'll get downloaded straight into your iTunes completely for free. If you have the podcast app on an iOS device, like an iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, you can get the podcast app and you can actually subscribe straight to your device and you don't have to hook it up to a computer anymore, which is pretty cool. Completely wireless right there, and it comes downloaded straight into your phone, and you can listen to us whenever you want. If you're on an Android device, a Kindle Fire, a Google Nexus, if you're on the Galaxy, any kind of Android device, make sure you download the Stitcher Radio app. It's free internet radio streaming to your device. The Call is on there. You can set us as one of your favorite stations, and then whenever a new show comes out, it'll be streaming right there completely for free as well. I've said it 4 or 5 times at this point that you listen to the show completely for free. It's your freedom of speech here. That's what we give it to you, completely for free, every single week during the season. The only thing we ask in return is that you please tell somebody about it. The only way we can keep this show going is if we get bigger and better, and we can only do that with your help. So make sure you tell a Ravens friend. Send them a text, give them a call, send them an email, let them know that you listen to The Call, and go on social media. Go onto Facebook, onto Twitter, onto Tumblr, onto Pinterest, onto Vine, every single social media app that's out there. Take a picture of your screen while you're listening to it, put it on Instagram, everything you can think of. Let people know that they should listen to The Call as well, because you got to spread the Ravens love, man. All of Baltimore should be listening to this podcast because we love the Ravens. That's why we started doing this show, and you love the Ravens just as much. We're just fans who record conversations, man. That's how cool this is. So that's my selling spiel for this show. Josh, you know what to do to send us out.
All right, Brandon. Yep. Preseason week number 4 is upon us. Regular season less than 2 weeks away. I really can't wait. Let's see how the drama plays out. Who will be the mighty 53 men of Baltimore left to go into battle come in Denver on September 5th? Well, we'll see. It's 8 o'clock. At the Rams, Thursday night, we can't wait. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.